Praise the Lord. Message number 51. The title of the message is Giving. Let's open our Bible to Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12. And let us read verse 11. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless this time and anoint my lips and put word and verses from your throne, O God, and speak to your people clearly, O God, about giving. And I pray, O Lord, you arrange the message in the way that you want it to be, O God. And we pray that the purpose that you send this message shall be accomplished according to your will and your plan, and you will receive the fruit and the harvest in the life of your people. We thank you and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this verse that we have read, we can mark what are the items that God had recommended to his people to bring to him. We have read about burnt offerings, sacrifices, tithes, special gifts, and the vows that the people of God, and we are among them, who make to the Lord. Most of the people, they know about tithing and offerings, but there are more than that in the Bible. More than a mere tithe or the little offering that we bring to the Lord. Some, they think that if they will bring their tithes, that is enough. According to what we're going to read and what we have read now, there are other things God wants us to bring to him, not only our tithe. In addition to the tithe, we need to do and bring the other offerings that the Word of God recommends for us. In the book of Leviticus chapter 1, the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring us your offering, an animal from either the herd or the flock. Verse 3, if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to offer a male without defect. He must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. Now what we find here is speaking about the burnt offering, and he say a male without defect. Now minimum it will be a sheep or a cow or a bull. Now how much this costly for him? It is a costly thing. And how much it costs now if you want to bring one male sheep to the Lord? It is costly, maybe more than your tithes. So apart from the tithes, there's a burnt offering, because there's an altar in the tent of meeting. At the tent of meeting, there was an altar for the burnt offering. There's a morning and there is evening sacrifice, to make the fire continue. The fire may die out if there is no burnt offering. So they make a burnt offering in the morning and at evening. The sacrifices, the burnt offering will come and they will burn it on the altar. So the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the ministry and the work of God, the mission of the Lord will continue when we bring not only our tithes but our burnt offering to the Lord. I pray that God will burden your heart to give unto Him, and sure, God will give you more as you obey Him. Every burnt offering, it will bring more fire of the Holy Spirit, cleansing and blessing in your life as you obey the Lord. You know, in the book of First King and chapter 3, and let us read verse 4. The king, and that is Solomon, went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Not only one burnt offering, 1,000 burnt offering on the altar of God. In a proportion to what Solomon has, he has much. And he gave according to what he had, to what God had blessed him. He gave 1,000 burnt offering. You can do also the same as Solomon did. You know, if you read verse 5, you will understand more what is the meaning of giving toward God. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." We know the story that Solomon asked the Lord to give him wisdom. But the question, which time the Lord came to Solomon and told him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." God came to Solomon after he offered the 1,000 burnt offering to the Lord. God loves a people who cheerfully give. Not only offering small offerings, not only the tithes, more than the tithes, the burnt offerings. That is important for the work of God and the mission of the Lord to continue. The Lord is going to give us more nations and more countries and more people and more cities and more congregations. And for all these, there is need of finances. The burnt offering that we are going to give to the Lord will use him and bless us. The Lord say, "Ask of me and I will give you the nation, the end of the earth as inheritance for you." The Lord will bless us more, will bless the church, and will bless you. Will bless your ministry, will bless each and every congregation under your care as you continue. Bring your tithe and burnt offering unto the Lord. Bring your burnt offering and sweetly sleep and wait for the Lord to appear to you and prepare your request to give to Him. The Lord will honor your giving. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus and let us read chapter 2. Another offering, grain offering. We read from verse 1. to verse 3. When someone brings a grain offering to the Lord, his offering is to be of fine flour. He is to pour oil on it, put incense on it, and take it to the Aaron's sons, the priests. The priests shall take a handful of fine flour and oil, together with all the incense, and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the offering made to the Lord by fire. They will bring grain, flour, oil, and they present it to the Lord. And here that we can take another offering. Some part of your money, offer it to God to be used to serve what is needful for the fellowship, maybe for tea or milk or coffee or food for the poor and needy, grain offering. That is apart from your tithes and apart from your burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 3. Fellowship offerings. If someone's offering is a fellowship offering, and he offers an animal from the herd, whether male or female, he is to present before the Lord an animal without defect. He is to lay his hand on the head of his offering and slaughter it at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood against the altar on all sides. From the fellowship offering he is to bring a sacrifice made to the Lord by fire, all the fat that covers the inner parts or is connected to them. Now let us take the term fellowship offering. To hold any fellowship or church meeting, we need a place, we need a transport to bring the people or the worker to move to that place. And we need money for that. So we give some money, so the fellowships, not the food fellowship, but the place that we meet as a church, or our churches and our congregations, what is needful to maintain these meetings. Maybe we need a transport, so God's servant will move, our workers will move to these places. Some of our churches are in remote places. And for the fellowship to continue, we need some money to support the transport of that worker. So fellowship offering. Next offering we'll speak about and sacrifices is the the sin offering. Leviticus chapter 4. And let us read from verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, verse 3, if the anointed priest sinned, bringing guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He is to present the bull at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. he is to lay his hand on its head and slaughter it before the Lord. Now here we have the sin offering. We say here, if a priest, but we know that every one of us is a royal priest by the blood of Jesus. Now here, when we do wrong, and after we repent, and we know that the Lord had forgiven us, and He is going to restore us. Now I must know that when I do sin, my sin will affect others, will harm, will bring some damage. Your sin had grieved the Lord and had caused damage. Now when you repent really and you are assured that the Lord had forgiven you and you had been restored to God and to the fellowship and to the ministry, you bring a sin offering. I'm not saying that you do wrong and you bring sin offering to cover up your sin. No. I'm saying after you repent, as your gratitude toward God who forgive you and restore you, you bring something of value to the Lord. To restore what you have done wrong and to continue the mission of God and the plan of God in your life. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, when David count the fighting men that brought God wrath on him and on all the Israelites, they brought damage, David repented and the Lord forgave him and he restored him. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 24. And let us read it from verse 18 to verse 25. On that day, God went to David and said to him, go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. So David went up as the Lord had commanded through God. When Arunah looked and saw the king and his men coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Arunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant to buy your threshing floor? David answered, so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Arunah said to David, let my lord the king take whatever pleases him and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. O King Arunah gives all this to the king. Arunah also said, may the Lord your God accept you. But the king replied to Arunah, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. Now here we find a clear example of somebody had repented and the Lord restored him back to him, and He wants to honor the Lord who had forgiven him his sin, and he built an altar for service unto God. Now when we do wrong, when you do wrong and backslid and go away from the Lord, He will forgive you when you repent. But as you repent, present to the Lord something so that the service of God and the ministry will be more corresponding, showing also your repentance with giving. God, in His word, speak more profoundly about giving. What we are taking out from the scripture, certain examples, are only a sample for us, but there are many more examples about giving from the scripture. More about giving, let us go to the book of Exodus and let us open chapter 30 and let us read verse 11 to verse 16. Exodus chapter 30, verse 11 to verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. Each one who crosses over to those already counted is to give half shekel according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerah. This half shekel is an offering to the Lord. All who cross over, those 20 years old or more, are to give an offering to the Lord. The rich are not to give more than a half shekel, and the poor are not to give less when you make the offering to the Lord to atone for yourselves. Receive the atonement money from the Israelites and use it for the service of the tent of meeting. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for your lives. Now here we have the atonement money. For what is using it? For the service at the tent of the meeting. Everyone is ordered to give, rich or poor. There's a certain amount will be used for maintaining the service in the tent of meeting. There are money needed for rent, for electricity, for water supply, to maintain certain buildings that our churches are functioning in. Apart from the tithes, apart from other offerings that we spoke, this is another type of offering, to maintain the service in the place that our churches meet. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12 and verse 11, you say, your burnt offerings, we spoke about it, and sacrifices, we spoke about it, the tithes, we had spoke about it, but we will continue to speak. But now the thing is about the special gifts. Now they are here as special gifts. Certain time there is a work of God need to be done. And there is a need for a money to raise up or certain thing to be achieved. Example, when the Lord gave the design for Moses for the how to make the tent of meeting and the ark and the tabernacle of it. The Lord said to Moses, order the Israelites to bring everyone, give his special gifts for that purpose. These are the special gifts. We have certain projects we need to do. These are the special gifts. David, when he was collecting the money for building the temple, he called all the Israelites and the leaders, faithfully all of them, they gave cheerfully for building the temples. We can read that in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 6 to verse 9. Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darkies of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Now here, very beautiful here, special gift and choice possession had been given to the Lord for building the temple. The people, they were happy because they saw the leaders. And all of you are leaders. When you give to the Lord, God will bless you more. Even the people who are under your care, they will learn giving and they will have rejoicing also. And we will rejoice, I will rejoice when I see you are giving as David rejoice. We know that really you truly love God. By the way, you give to the Lord. While I was preparing this message, I asked the Lord, those people, they are giving all these things. What is left for them? The Lord told me I had given them more. And I will give you more also. He spoke to me, if you will give and you will honor me more. Then I say, yes, and I mean, Lord, I will obey. I will abide. I will follow. Now, here, these things are in the Old Testament. How much more we, whom we have received the promise of God, not only eternal life, but the Holy Spirit fill us and live inside us. How much then we can give? As we have the Holy Spirit, we ought to give more. I speak now about tithes. There's a special message about tithes, audio message. You can listen. But what I want to share here is from the book of Leviticus, chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus chapter 30 and chapter 27, verse 30, the word of God says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. You see here, a tithe from everything. When people give their tithes, how they will give the tithes? How much the salary? They will give the tenth of the salary, the first tenth, before they will spend anything, they will give the first tenth to the Lord. But here he says, tenth of everything, tithe of everything. You have salary, maybe you have part time, or maybe you have some money in the bank and there's interest, you are receiving some interest on it. All this you need to tithe. How about the free things that you are receiving? Maybe your accommodation is free, or your transport is free, or you are receiving food free, or gifts free, or clothes or dress free. These all you need to tithe. Because in book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 11, he say your tithes, not tithe, tithes. Amen. And also, as long you are aware of tithing and certain period of your life you did not tithe, then my advice for you, you go retrograde, and the thing that you did not tithe and give to the Lord, it's time for you now to tithe and bring it back to God. If you have the money with you that you can pay that tithe, better you do it, and the Lord will bless you. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 31, if a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. And that time, if they have 10 sheep, they have to give one to the Lord. But suppose he does not like to give that sheep to God, he will check how much the value of this sheep. And then when the value came out, he give the tenth. He give the value of the sheep as money to the Lord, plus a 20% of the value. That is the law of God to redeem the tithe. Suppose you get a house or a car, then you want to keep the house or you keep the car, then you check how much the value of that car or house or gift, and then the tenth belong to God of the value, plus 20% of the tenth that you had calculate that you're going to give. Suppose you're going to give to the Lord 100, that's the tenth. 20% of it is 120 you give. That is how we do tithe of everything. And when you want to redeem the tithe, or sometimes we cannot give the tithe of a house or a car, we have to redeem it to the Lord. Now, in addition to what we have of all that, there is, according to book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 11, he say, and the all choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. Vow. When you vow to God, then you have to fulfill what you had promised to the Lord, book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4 to verse 6. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fool. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Now here, when you promise God something, Lord, give me this job and I will give you these things. Lord, you give me this and I promise you, Lord, I will do that. Especially when coming to finances. Oh, you forget. Some people, they will promise God, Lord, give me increase, and the first increase I'll give to you. But when the increase come, they will give only the tithe. That is cheating. Whatever you consecrate to the Lord and vow, give it to the Lord. Be honest with the Lord and He will bless you. There is another theme that we will mention here also. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. You say, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Here, the first fruit. The first fruit. The first fruit belong to the Lord. Example. You finish study and you get a job. Then, the first salary belong to God. Or the big part of the first salary belong to the Lord. You must give the firstborn, the first thing, the first fruit of your labor to God. The first business, the first income, the first sale. It is not that compulsory that you give everything. But if you can and manage and you have a plenty, well good, give it to God. But if you cannot, give a big portion. Like you get, example, 1,000. You can't give it all. You can give half of it. Or one third of it, apart from your tithe. Give it to the Lord. But if you can and you can manage, then the first fruit belongs to God. We will move to the in New Testament. We will select certain scriptures, speak about giving. In the book of Luke, chapter 18, and verse 18 to verse 22, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All this I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Now here the Lord, he not tell only the tenth or special gift. He said to him, everything, and give it to the poor. Now, all what we collect as a church from money, all will be directed finally to evangelize and reach the lost and bring them back to Christ and into the kingdom of God. The lost are poor. Not only those who does not have money are poor, but the lost also are poor because they don't have life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all the work of God in the ministry is directed to bring the lost. Even when we give for the poor and needy, the purpose is not to give them money. The purpose is to bring them to Christ, to bring the word of God to them. So here the Lord, he not only spoke about tithe or offering, but everything that we have belong to God. In John chapter 12, when Mary brought the pint of pure nard and poured it on Jesus' feet. Let's read verse 3 to verse 5. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, why was not this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. The point here that we brought the scripture, this woman, she had brought something to the Lord that equal to 1 year's salary. 1 year salary. So more than the tithes she had brought to the Lord. She had brought a tithe of 10 years ahead. 1 year salary she gave to the Lord, this woman. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Verse 44 and verse 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Now, what for we collect money? We collect it to support the work of God. There are needs. To support the congregations, the new churches, the new missions, the fields that the Lord is opening for us to reach as a church. You see, the early church, they were selling their possessions so that the work of God will continue. The need will be satisfied. Acts chapter 4 and verse 52. Verse 32 to verse 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. So here we find again they sell their possessions, and the thing that they have dedicated to the Lord, special gifts, and they bring it to the apostles' feet, they bring it to the treasury, and the apostle would distribute it also. Let's move more about giving. Let's read the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul was challenging the churches to give. And this message, as you hear it, this message is directed to all the churches and congregations that is a part of this church. And we encourage you to give so that the work of God will continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we will read the whole chapter together, and we'll expound as the Holy Spirit give us word. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion the acts of grace on your part. He is challenging the Corinthian churches to give, and he mentioned the Macedonian churches. He said they are poor, and out of their trial they give more than what they had expected to supply the work of God entirely on their own. They respond and they interact with the appeal of Paul to them. I also appeal to you to give to the Lord so the mission and the work of God will continue. So Titus was sent to the Corinthian churches so that he will encourage them to do as the Macedonian churches had done. Verse 7, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. He's telling them, since you are excelling in everything, you also excel in that grace of giving. I am not commanding you, nothing by force, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. I say others, they have done it. I am not testing you, but I am just comparing. I want to test your sincerity. It's not a command, but I am checking your sincerity. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. After all of us become rich in Christ, he became poor for us. We do the same. We give so that others will know Christ and they will follow Him. What we give, God will bring it back more to us. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first, and not only to give, but also to have the desire to do. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. He said to them, as you are willing, complete it. Match it by your completion. Many they say, oh, we will give, but they are not yet done. We have to do. We have to finish it. Amen. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be qualities. Not that we want you to give and we are pressing you or squeezing you and others are relieved. No. Everyone would give as much as we can, so that will be quality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need. You have a plenty, you give, so it will supply their need. So that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Later on, God will give them also. They will supply your need. Then there will be quality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. I thank God who put in the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. Why is he coming, Titus? Because the mission is about giving. He has in his heart to go and encourage the Corinthian churches. I agree and I commission every worker, every pastor and leader whom we appointed and he is approved by his good work to appeal on our behalf and use this message to encourage each and every member of this church, each and every congregation to give to the Lord, so that the work of God will continue. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. As this message reaches you, know very well that the anointing of the Holy Spirit has sent this message to you. There is need, and we as a church, all of us, agree and do the work together, willingly giving as much as we can, so that the work of God would continue. We do our best so that there will be no criticism. Everything will be recorded and you will see what for your money that you give had been used for the glory of God. In addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of this, of his great confidence to you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. He said to them, as Titus is coming and with the other representative of the churches, show them also that you agree and you are giving. Do it, please. Every church will see the other churches, what they had given. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we will continue. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year's you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Paul is telling them, I have told the Macedonians you are willing to give. When the Macedonians hear that the Corinthian churches are willing to give, themselves they start to give. But I am sending the brother in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brother to visit you in advance and finish the arrangement for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. What do you say here? He say, I was about to come to you, Paul, and the Macedonian brothers with me. But if I would be coming like this and you are not ready, I would be ashamed, I would be put to shame, because I already spoke very good things about you. So what I did, I am going now to do, I'm sending Titus with the brothers, be ready and prepare everything. So when we come, everything we arrange and everything will be encouragement to them to see your special gift that and your generous gift that you had already promised. So here, when we give, other encourage. The other believers, when they give, the rest of the church are encouraged to give. You know, I am asking you to give, not because need, but what is the credit to your account? Remember this, verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, they truly love God, a cheerful giver. God loves those who bring their tithes, and more than the tithes, their burnt offering, fellowship offering, grain offering, their vows, special gifts, special support for the service, their first fruit. God loves the cheerful giver. And the opposite, God does not love those who does not give. God had given you much, so you are required to give to enjoy the love of God. The more you give, the more you will receive from the Lord. The more you sow, the more you reap. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. As you give, there will be more supply, more than you satisfy, and more harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanksgiving. When we give, not only supply the needs, but overflowing. The blessing of God is overflowing. The income is overflowing. The collection is overflowing. The thanksgiving to God is also overflowing because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompany your confession of the gospel of Christ. When we give, that an obedient action, people will praise God when they will see that, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And that's here the mission work. We are sharing not only the gospel, but the material things that the Lord give us. Those people that we are reaching, most of them, they don't know God and they are poor. We need not only to give the word of God, but some support for them and in their prayers for you. Their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gifts. I encourage you to give. You know, it's like you are putting a seed in the ground. You water it, and then after a few days you can see a plant. Your giving will produce a plant and harvest on the other side, on the far away of the earth, where your money will be used to reach the lost, to support a worker, a transport, a fellowship, an allowance, so that the work of God will continue. Philippians chapter 4. And let's read verse 14 to verse 19. Paul was speaking to the Philippians, because Philippi is in Macedonia. And the Macedonians, they support the ministry of Paul, the work of God in the life of Paul, to plant churches, to reach the Gentiles. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, no, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. See, here one church only, they support Paul, but how much he do the work? How much more of all of us we give, and all the congregation will give? How much more the work of God? For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me and again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. Now here, you please listen to my appeal to give, so that the work of God to continue. The purpose here, I am giving this message, not I am looking for a gift for me, but what is credited in your account. Yes, this will help me, what you give, to continue the work of God, to reach the lost, to manage in new fields and new areas, to bring joy in my heart, in the heart of the leaders of the church and all the saints and all the churches. But also there will be account for you in heaven, a blessing of God here and in eternity, a reward for you. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. He is thankful for what he has received from them. And I am thankful for all of you who bring your tithes and offerings and your heart with the mission of this church. your heart with the Lord and His work in the mission of the church. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Verse 19, this is my prayer and my good wish for you. And my God, my prayer and my good wish for you, all of you have proved to be faithful in giving your tithes and offering and supporting the work of God, and your heart has been prompt to give whenever there is need raised up. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank and praise you for everyone who had prompted his heart, O God, to give to you. You bless them. And Lord, I pray for those who regularly bring their tithes and offerings and willingly supporting the mission of yours in planting churches, O God. Lord, those people who have refreshed your heart and my heart in the matter of giving to support your work, Lord, I pray that you supply all their needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I pray that this message will bring glory and fruit. And I pray, O Lord, that prompt the heart of your people so that your work will continue and your church will be built and all the needs shall be satisfied by you. I pray everyone who is going to give, I pray for a blessing from you upon him and upon her and upon that congregation, upon that leader and pastor who is doing your work and your will. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, receive the honor and the glory and the harvest that you desired from sending this message. Oh Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.